Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
My favorite song.
It's pretty good. Good tune, though.
Great song.
So you got Garrett Cole in the hill for the Astros.
Yeah.
They're circulating this picture of him at a Yankees game as an 11-year-old holding up a sign that says, Yankees fan today, tomorrow, forever.
Forever?
Yeah.
Well, when you're that
young. Not today. Not today.
No, I'm not holding it against Garrett Cole. I just think it's a funny picture.
See, Chris, when people say things, I hold it against them. That's why we're going to get into LeBron James.
Yes, you do, Craig.
And we're going to get into Jeff Rice. Hey, Southwest Florida, y'all just got in your car.
Gosh.
After a long day at work, maybe stayed up late, watched some Monday Night Football, watched the Lions get screwed by the officials against the Packers. Did you know that the umpire that screwed the Lions with all those bad calls is Jeff Rice? He's an attorney here in Southwest Florida. So he's home by now?
Well,
he may even be in traffic with you trying to merge in and out on I-75 right now as you speak. He is one of us. If you see him, don't let him in. He can have his blinker on all day. Don't be nice to him. He ruined my day.
Counselor, this man does not speak for this show entirely. You can represent me anytime. Although I disagree with your non-calls and your calls last night. I'm sure you're a fine attorney.
He may be a good attorney, but he sucks as a referee.
I would like to put you on the stand.
Yeah.
No, you.
Oh, me. Why? I speak the truth. I fear nothing.
Have the counsel represent himself, put you on. You represent yourself.
The NFL.
He has a chance to cross you.
Listen, let me tell you.
Because I think you are psychologically damaged today.
Well, I could be.
And I'm not sure you really. I think the counselor would recommend that you plead not guilty by reason of temporary insanity.
I'm insane?
Yeah.
I'm the sane one here. I know that I saw crappy football and by the officials. And by the way, the NFL already admitted that Jeff Rice made a mistake, at least on the second one, the illegal hands to the face called on Trey Flowers, who has never been called in his entire career, uses the same technique,
so
got called twice in the fourth quarter.
That means he could never be guilty of illegal hands to
the
face.
No, but he was using the same technique, which he clearly learned before he got there when he was a Patriot. So it's the Patriot way, Chris, so don't tell me that. You know it's right. He's doing it the right way, and I don't want an apology from the NFL. I don't even want a worthless apology from Jeff Rice. What I want back is my darn minute 45 left that we could have had where Matthew Stafford could have completed two passes.
Nothing.
And then Matt Prater from Estero, who was kicking like a cannon last night, could have nailed a 50-yarder at the horn for the win. Yep. That's what I want. Everybody back to Lambeau. Let's redo this and let's finish it correctly.
Like I said, temporary insanity.
It's not just me. It's been a national thing. It's been on TV all day. In fact, in a moment, I'm going to play you Booger McFarland last night, who, by the way, has had two excellent games as an analyst for ESPN on Monday Night Football.
He just hasn't been the worst thing out there because of the officials.
No, Booger's brought his game up. He got a lot of criticism the first couple of weeks. I think he's getting comfortable in the role.
239, red alert. Craig and the Lion fans get 12 more hours of their pity party and have to move on Shut Up and Nut Up, Lions fans.
Wow, 239.
There's some there. You know, you don't see me coming in here throwing things because Kenyon Drake couldn't catch a 2-point conversion screen.
Well, that's because you want it to happen.
And stand by, you LeBron fans, because I'm coming after him next. Time now for a SportsCenter rundown. Here's Chris.
Oh, this is happening.
I thought we already did it.
No. Did we?
No.
Oh, man. I'm temporarily insane.
Yeah. ALCS going on right now. Spoiler alert, everybody. Okay. The Astros are up on the Yankees. 2-0. Bottom of the second. Two outs. You don't know that, Craig.
I'm assuming.
Out of the NFL, the Ravens have traded for Pro Bowl cornerback Marcus Peters. There have been some other moves going on, but they're not showing up right now on my little sheet of paper. And the Chicago Bears have placed defensive tackle Akeem Hicks on IR with an injury.
Sheet of paper? You read off your phone. Oh. Just outed him.
I'm trying to paint a picture here, Craig.
Like you're some studious news guy in the newsroom.
Look,
breaking
you,
it down.
You hear my paper with my notes on it?
Yeah, but that's not what you were just reading off of. All right, now back to me. Look, I've been the first one to admit that last night as I was sitting down with my two bowls of ice cream and my Coors Light beer, not at the same time because I'm not an animal, enjoying my Monday Night Football game in which the Lions got off to a hot start.
First of all, we discussed this yesterday.
Yeah.
Salted caramel ice cream with beer would be a delight.
I didn't have any. I had mint chocolate chip. That was my only choice.
We've done it.
I know. Look, I'm the first to admit that the Lions had 5 field goals and 1 touchdown, and had they not settled for field goals at least once, they would have won. They also made a boneheaded play when they held the Packers to a field goal, but then had 12 men on the field. Gave Aaron Rodgers a first down and another chance to score a touchdown. There's 4 points right there. However, it would have been nice if they would have caught the Packers with 13 men on the field. That's hard to miss.
Yeah, it was a horribly officiated game. And to make you feel better, in case you missed it earlier, NFL executive Troy Vincent, he was in Florida in Fort Lauderdale because they had the competition committee meetings there today and tomorrow, says the second hand to the face call last night, quote, "It's not something that you want to see called." He said he will speak with Mrs. Ford and reach out to GM Bob Quinn as well. Now, on top of all of that, we have... Here we go. That the NFL, Craig Sheeman.
Yes.
Jeremy Fowler just put this story out about 10 minutes ago.
Yes.
The NFL is asking for patience on the controversial pass interference review. Falcons president Rich McKay, who was there today, an official of the NFL competition committee, says it's too early to evaluate a new rule after 6 weeks of play. Quote, Craig,
yeah.
Let's let the season play out. It's a brand new rule. Committee presented to owners several officiating matters during this week's fall meetings at the Ritz in Fort Lauderdale, including blindside blocking, offensive holding, and pass interference. They showed stats and video examples associated with each penalty, quote, that opened up the floor to the room. More holding calls league-wide contributed to lower scoring through the first 2 weeks of the season. NFL games were averaging 14.9 penalties per game in 2019, up from 13.2 a year ago. Interference review has caused the most strife among fans and Craig and most of us and many head coaches with the lack of overturned calls. Coaches 1-for-25 on challenging PI rulings since week 3.
Mm-hmm.
Steelers coach Mike Tomlin said he doesn't know what officials are looking for when he submits a challenge. Now, NFL Vice President Troy Vincent said coaches, quote, should know the bar is higher than a normal review. And the goal of implementing a new challenge, as we know, is to get egregious interference plays overturned. That remains a process.
Marvin Jones was slapped across the chest before the ball got there. Was that not egregious?
McKay says this to you. I am not going to get into how it's currently being done from New York. I think that's something that we're all better off doing, at least us as a committee, at the end of the year. But we did know one thing going on. This is the first time we've lived in this subjective world where we're going to have a subjective review by an individual. We knew that would lead to disagreement. Now, what you should have done was put somebody competent, McKay,
fact,
into the office upstairs in New York City where the bubbleheads at 345 Park Avenue are down the street from, and not Al Riveron, who's in way over his head.
And Jeff Rice should be fired, right?
No. He should be penalized.
He's the one that made the bonehead play.
He should not be fired.
He made the call.
Two bad calls, maybe more. He should not be fired for that, but he will get his demerits, and he will probably have, that will come down to postseason officiating crew. He might have a hard time finding a job.
And what was Tracy Walker supposed to do, Pete Shepard? He was going in for an interception with both arms extended. The receiver comes in, and they bang heads, and they nail Tracy Walker. What is he supposed to do?
I can't sit here, and I'd love to sit here and disagree with you on anything, and I can't.
The NFL wants patience. I got your patience right here.
Oh, hey. It's a family show.
Can I just take it down a second?
Can we hear what? Yes, just sure.
Calm it down.
Why?
Oh,
no.
I'm just going to ask a question here. And I don't want you to jump down my throat, okay?
I don't think I like your question, and I haven't even heard it yet.
Last year.
We got screwed there, too. I got you going to go to the Atlanta Falcons game with Tate. Golden Tate didn't get in the end zone by an inch.
So you're making my point
10
for me.
10-second runoff?
Last year, I believe that happened in week 3 of last year. Maybe it was week 4.
It was early.
It was very early in the season. You're still talking about that game.
Yes.
Do we have another game that you're going to be talking about a year and a half from now? the Monday Night Football game in Lambeau?
This is the worst one I've ever seen. Like, and because this never happens. Like, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are generally the Dallas Cowboys, always the Patriots. Those teams never get screwed out of a win.
That's not true.
There may be, no. There may be a bad play or two. It happens. But you don't get screwed out of a win ever.
Yes, that's not true.
In this generation, Pete.
That's not true. I'll tell you.
Belichick
about 2 years
and Brady
ago,
have never lost a
Cam
game.
Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers won a game one time, and Rob Gronkowski got mauled in the end zone, and there was no call. That was 2013,
that's not
I think.
The same.
They lost the game. That was the last play of the game. They lost the game because of it.
They
it
don't call happen. Hail Mary interference. Everybody knows that.
It wasn't a Hail Mary.
It wasn't a Hail Mary.
It was the last play of the game. Everybody knows.
It was a Monday night game.
I remember vividly the play Pete's talking about, and I'd love to be on your side here, Craig, but I can't.
All right, let's move on. Let's listen to Booger McFarland discuss how egregious this is and how my Lions got absolutely jammed on Monday Night Football. Season's ruined.
But even as that clock is counting down, and you know, I know a lot of people talk about the officiating and where we are in 2019, John Perry. But when blatant calls cost teams football games, that's where we as players, the coaches, and even the fans in America, if we can see it, the officials should be able to see that. And I think that's why we're all a little bit disgruntled about how the game is being officiated and some of the plays are costing teams games with the wrong calls.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. 5-6 weeks into this season, we're seeing officiating be...
And this is it.
Yeah, you got nothing. You got nothing.
Week in and week out. Boog, I get it.
Do you?
Mistakes are going to be made. But you know what? We're inside shoulder pads. We're on shoulders.
Oh, shut up. This is about five mistakes into the game. This is late in the fourth quarter.
That's the problem.
Unbelievable. I think we just got a text from Jeff Rice. Craig, take it down a notch on Jeff Rice. You're going overboard. Jeff Rice, attorney in Southwest Florida who also officiates games in the NFL on weekends. Horrible.
Can you answer me this, 239? Why is it going too far?
Right. Yeah, you can't.
I want to know the answer to the question, because if Jeff Rice had done his job,
I might be talking about a W today and
running
my mouth.
Well, no, because what's the one thing about being an official? Like, if we're talking about you didn't do your job.
Yep. Fact. Multiple times,
well,
I might add.
We're not the only one talking about him.
The whole country is. It's just not me, a disgruntled Lions fan. It's all over TV, all over the place today. We're going to have to talk about this all week.
No, we're not going to talk about it all week.
Well, you'll see the highlights all week on TV.
It's just another example of a series of horrible calls that we saw all over the weekend. Again, egregious.
One of many.
Some called, some not. The Kelce thing, I'll keep saying it. That is an abomination. He got thrown to the ground. No call. It's ridiculous. There were plenty of others, and last night was a disgrace. And we didn't even talk about the face mask that should have been on the Packers as well.
Yep.
Who was running the ball for the Lions, I forget. But clear face mask ended up being a 3-yard loss instead of a 15-yard penalty. It's horrible.
Abomination. All right, as long as I'm fired up, play the LeBron James sound.
Oh, great.
This is LeBron. As you all know, Daryl Morey had a tweet about a week or so ago that had 7 words in it. Fight for freedom. Stand with Hong Kong. People in Hong Kong protesting for democracy and human rights.
Which, by the way, nobody in China would have seen that tweet because Twitter's not allowed.
Right. And, of course, nobody in the NBA says anything over there because everything got canceled because we were all afraid. It's against the law over there. I mean, people could have ended up in jail. So, anyway, the Lakers came back home after they had a meeting with Adam Silver and said, why wasn't Daryl Morey fired? Because the players would have been fined for that. I don't know if that's true or not. The league always talks about rights of free speech and whatnot. So LeBron gets in front of the microphones here and starts talking about how Daryl Morey apparently is misinformed. About what? All he said was fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. Let's listen to LeBron James.
I'm not here to judge how the league handled the situation. I just think that, you know, when you're misinformed or you're not educated about something, and I'm just talking about you know, the tweet itself, you know, you never know the ramifications that can happen. You know, we all seen what that did. Not only did for our league, but for all of us in America, for people in China as well. And sometimes you have to think through things that you say that may cause harm, not only for yourself, but for the majority of people. And I think that's just a prime example of that.
Okay, now the burning jerseys, and they are screaming his name in effigy in Hong Kong right now.
Is that going to carry over to America?
By him, I mean LeBron James.
Right. Is that going to carry over here? Are there going to be people upset about this and see this as anti-American?
There are always people that are upset about anything.
Is it going to be a Kaepernick situation? It's not that he's never going to be allowed to play again.
I don't think it'll get to that level, but will there be some backlash? Yeah. There will. I don't think a lot. But, people complain if the sun doesn't come up the right way. Even though it comes up, same part rises in the east and sets in the west. There are people that will debate that. They'll be upset if the cloud formations are not. So, it's a lot more serious than that. But, again, I will say, Daryl Morey has 2 degrees, one from Northwestern and one from MIT. Now, the problem is LeBron didn't really clarify sort of when he says uneducated. They just shouldn't have used that. It doesn't sound right. He was asked a follow-up question like misinformed. Like, what do you mean misinformed? And he wouldn't answer it. He chickened out. And
said, that's just how I feel.
That's how I feel.
It's like a kid going home, taking his ball and going home. That's just how I feel.
He wouldn't answer. So I'm not saying he's calling Daryl Morey stupid or uneducated in a way of not being. He probably is talking about. We don't really know what he's talking about, but I don't know who LeBron James thinks he is by telling Daryl Morey that he's not well-informed about the situation going on in Hong Kong and China and the relations.
It was a horribly worded answer by LeBron James. I've listened to that cut about 6 times now from before the show, and now I think we've played it twice during the show. Mm-hmm. He's talking about when Daryl Morey sends that tweet out. Days before the NBA is sending employees over to China.
I don't doubt that, Chris. I'm just wondering why he wouldn't clarify that.
He asked
a follow-up.
He has
every opportunity to clarify
that. Because he was all smug. He he's the only one that could possibly know the right answer to the worldwide situation, exactly. And Daryl Morey is some dummy.
Exactly. That's where it came off anyway.
And you're right about him. He needs to clarify. You're LeBron James. If fair or not fair, you've got a lot of good that comes with coming with being the face of the NBA. Well, you have to be there now as well.
Right. Not when it's convenient.
Now you've got to be there for it. He had another line in that soundbite that we just played where he was saying you have to think about all parties involved. Again, horribly worded answer by LeBron James.
And no follow-up either.
When
you think
about all his parties involved... Well, a majority of those people involved are going to be the Chinese people that live in a country that where their government can literally cut off communication whenever they see fit.
And kill you.
So LeBron's talking about the player's point of view that why would you send this tweet out days before we go to China and put us in this really difficult position? I understand where that's coming from. It didn't come across that way.
No. All right, there's more. There's a second cut. Let's play that and see if there's any more lunacy here with LeBron James.
We all talk about this freedom of speech. Yes, we all do have freedom of speech. But at times, there are ramifications for the negative that can happen when you're not thinking about others and you're only thinking about yourself. So I don't believe, I don't want to get into a word or sentence feud with Daryl. But Daryl Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand. And he spoke. And so many people could have been harmed, not only financially, but physically, emotionally, spiritually.
Oh, please.
So
come on, LeBron.
Just be careful what we say and what we do, even though, yes, we do have freedom of speech, but there can be a lot of negative that comes with that, too.
Here's what I don't like.
Are you spiritually, it's out of sorts spiritually because of what LeBron said? Is anybody spiritually out of sorts or because of what Daryl Morey said?
I am spirited right now.
Seriously?
Look, when he says he wasn't thinking about others, you can't just think about yourself. What Daryl Morey said, fight for freedom, stand for Hong Kong. He is thinking about others in the right way, the important way, about life.
Mm-hmm.
These people are killed in the streets of Hong Kong. Civil rights, LeBron. When you say, hey, think about others, you're thinking about dollar signs and money you make from China. Nike.
And that's all this is about, making sure his movie
gets promoted. And it's hypocritical as hell.
Of course it is. And everybody could see that. 99.9% of the population sees right through him.
I want to know what kind of backlash is going
to
be.
Nobody there to grill him. Nobody has the guts to sit there and say, no, clarify. No, what is LeBron going to do? Jump off the podium and hit you in the head? There's no guts, I'm telling you. Journalism in this country on the whole is a joke. It really is when it comes to situations like this. And I blame a lot of the sports media for being wusses about it. You know, and this is why sometimes news people that go to sporting events and you're like, oh, what are they doing here? Once in a while, they get it right. They ask questions that a lot of the sports media is afraid to ask. Go at them. Tell them to clarify. I mean, I don't understand what people are afraid of in this country about asking an athlete and being tough about it. Asking them tough questions.
Not personal stuff
that, you know, call them out on what he said.
You guys have done this where I've never been in a position where I've been reporting on a team, but could there be anything to trying to keep the relationship where maybe you get the scoop? That can make your career, especially with a guy like LeBron. If you get in the good graces with LeBron and you're the one who he decides that he's going to leak the story to, that can help somebody in that position. Again, I'm just asking the question. I'm not defending.
Of course that happens all the time. But I'm saying in a situation like that, and even in China, there are a lot of people, like the newswoman for CNN who got the mic taken
right,
away from her.
Yeah.
I mean, there are plenty of those type of reporters there that didn't have the opportunity to grill him. And I don't know what kind of news reporters were sitting at the podium when LeBron made that statement yesterday, right, or about Daryl Morey being unintelligent. Yeah. But you cannot tell me somebody there, you couldn't go after him a couple, two or three more follow-up questions and push it. And he probably would have walked off the stage and given you a wuss thing. And just,
no,
you
and
know,
I agree with what you're saying. I'm just trying to ask the other side of it why would that not be asked?
You're right. On the other hand, it happens all the time because unfortunately, too many people in this business now have become too friendly with owners, yeah. GMs, and players. And they write books about them, and they kiss their butt, and they do TV shows with them and radio shows with them sometimes. Yeah. And they're getting paid a lot of money, and you're afraid to ask the tough questions.
I want to see what happens now moving forward and what kind of legs this story has. USA Today just has a headline out right now. It says LeBron James undermines values with comments on Daryl Morey and China. The Wall Street Journal has said this is LeBron's biggest disgrace of his entire career.
And that's
I don't think it's going away.
That's the biggest pro, why wouldn't you be, capitalistic newspaper in the country,
yeah,
by far.
And I actually think LeBron being the super megastar that he is keeps the story going even longer.
Yeah.
Had this been a good player but not the superstar, had this been like Klay Thompson, right?
Right. Kyrie Irving, maybe.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about it. The sports world is talking about it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it...
It's the face of the league.
If it seeps over into news. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This will be news tonight.
Right. I mean. Because it's LeBron James, this is in the 6 o'clock news with Lester Holt. And 7 o'clock, whatever it is.
I mentioned this earlier. Muhammad Ali's ex-wife, by the way, who was married to him during the Vietnam War protest, says she wishes LeBron would have stood up for the people of Hong Kong because that's what Muhammad would have done.
Yeah.
They spoke with Khalia Ali, who was married to Muhammad from 1967 through 76, and she says she was his advisor for his biggest protest, refusing to fight in the Vietnam War. And she says that she's aware of China's issues with the NBA and the pro-Hong Kong tweet sent by Daryl Morey, but says she'll always support people who are standing up for their rights. So when she heard LeBron's comments, which condemned Maury's tweet, it was clear to her Muhammad would have handled the situation much differently. She said, essentially, it says powerful people like LeBron and Muhammad should stand up for people fighting for human rights. She said Muhammad was more savvy when it came to his political comments because he, quote, was a man of the world who was always fighting for the global good. Mm-hmm. She said, quote, they would not take Muhammad Ali's shorts and burn them anywhere. It would never happen. Well, I'm not sure about that because he took a lot of flack.
Oh, he took a lot of flack in this country.
They took his title away from him.
Yeah.
I mean,
and died one of the greatest heroes that we've ever seen in this country. I mean, how that flipped over.
Louisville just played a football game in Muhammad Ali inspired football uniform.
Yeah. He's probably the most recognizable, even in depth,
you know,
most recognizable figure in the world.
It's kind of a sign of where we are in 2009. Had this happened in the 90s, you never heard a word from Jordan on anything.
politically.
Right.
Anything that could be construed as political or social.
No,
he was
smart.
He was always quiet on it.
I don't know if he'd even be asked in the 1990s. I don't know that. I don't know.
And his point, well, everybody buys Jordans.
Yeah.
I don't want to upset people. Well, yeah. LeBron is getting into an area where he's upsetting an awful lot of people with these remarks. It's almost where you...
Now, I'm wondering how many hours a day LeBron puts into really focusing on what is really going on with
Hong Kong. I don't
want
to tell him to shut
up
and dribble the basketball, but almost like he'd be in a better spot right now if he just shut up and dribbled the basketball.
No. Yeah.
Like a lot of people would. I mean, you cannot tell me, and I know he was over there, but you tell me LeBron spends all these hours like looking into the relations between China and Hong Kong.
Well, it's clearly he doesn't after just spending a week over there and then a 13-hour flight back. And this is the best statement he could come up with.
Can I get his stupid animated movie that he couldn't find anybody to act for until recently?
Voiceover. Hold up.
What?
Let's not talk ill of Space Jam.
Nobody wanted to be in it.
I won't be watching it.
Anthony
Davis is in it.
Yeah, he was like the eighth option.
Klay Thompson is in it.
Again, ninth option.
He's not playing. He needs something to do. He's got a bad leg.
I don't know anyone else in it.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right. I can name Space Jam 1. Charles Barkley was in it. I mean, this is Muggsy Bogues.
Michael Bradley was also in it.
Hey,
pump the brakes.
Big name back in the day.
That dude got dunked on by anyone in the league.
Don't forget, game 4 of the National League Championship Series could be a sweep. From D.C. tonight, 7:30. We'll have the game here on 99.3 ESPN.
Bryce Harper, all right, finally getting it done.
Not so much. He's at home watching just like me.
And this is breaking news, but it isn't breaking news. Hal Habib, who covers the Dolphins for 40 years and leading NFL, that Twitter handle, which is featured on ESPN, the Washington Post, they just released this statement. Brian Flores will return as Dolphins head coach next season.
Was that a thing? Was that a thing?
Fins up, Dolphins.
I don't know how you would fire him after
you
this
can't.
Year. He's got a five-year deal. You knew exactly what they're going to do.
Almost beat the Redskins.
Play for overtime.
He's going to be doing the same thing more than likely next year again.
Oh, it won't be to this extent.
Not to this extent, but it'll be close.
There will be some excitement next year.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be a 5-11 excitement.
That's a 5-win team.
But it's a 5-11 that's exciting.
But I feel it odd that they felt the need to put that out there.
That means there's turmoil in the front office.
Sean Bradley, not Michael Bradley. I'm thinking soccer.
I knew.
Sorry, everybody.
You're always thinking.
Well,
soccer.
Just correct me then.
Bradley is smelling badly.
Sheeman and Shepherd.
I know it's Sean Bradley. Everyone.
99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Sheeman and Shepherd. 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Don't forget poker night tonight. As soon as we're out of here in about a half hour, heading down to the dog track, the Naples Fort Myers Greyhound track, play some poker at 7 o'clock. $100 bounties on both of us. You're all invited.
You love it. $80 buy-in, 15,000 chips to start, 15-minute blinds.
All right, now, we're both got a little bit of a cold, and I can't even yee-haw right now.
Because you don't yee-haw, O-A-R.
This is country music.
This is not country music. This
Wrong.
Is not country music at all.
Wrong. Clear. It's not even, it's very yee-haw-y.
Let's not debate. Let's go to the phones.
Yeah, I'm going to save my voice here because I did a lot of screaming today about official Jeff Rice. Who's a Southwest Florida attorney, by the way, who also moonlights
really
as
wouldn't
a
know
horrible NFL umpire and screwed the Lions last night.
You are speaking strictly of his umpiring skills last
night. Not his character. We're getting a lot of people concerned about defamation lawsuits that could be
hoisted upon
Craig.
At the beginning of the show, it's not personal. It's just professional on a football field.
You know what always gets you out of trouble?
Huh?
The truth. And I have not said anything that's not truthful today. He sucks as an umpire.
He had a bad game last
and
night.
He had a bad game.
Cost the Lions a game.
He had a bad game.
He had a bad game last
night.
Cost
a professional NFL team a game.
Yeah.
A game. In a season where one game makes a difference between
the postseason
and not.
But think about it. Had you not blown an 18-point fourth quarter lead in Arizona, you'd have that win.
Let's go to the phones.
He's going
to
go back and check and see who officiated that game, too.
Good Don't point. Give him any ideas.
Oh, good point. Let's go to the phones. We'll let the people talk so I can save my voice. And I did a lot of yelling on LeBron today. I'm afraid of what my voice is going to sound like tomorrow.
You threw your Mountain Dew bottle at the television?
I know. I don't know. I'm fearful how my voice is going to sound tomorrow. Your voice better be better tomorrow, Pete Shepard. John and Scott, hang tight. We'll talk to you about LeBron James. Let's go to Randy and Lehigh real quick. You're on with Sheeman and Shepard. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Randy.
Just wrapped up a round of badminton to talk to you guys.
All right.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up,
real
Randy?
Real quick. It looks like Jameis Winston is going to be another Heisman Trophy winner that doesn't make it in the league. I saw today on Bleacher Report that they're looking hard at the Oregon quarterback.
Yeah,
Herbert.
What do you think? Could they move on from him, and how far will it sit?
Randy, though, here's the thing. How are they going to get him? Because look who's picking ahead of them. Unless they really tank and go two and, you know, they don't want another game, that's a different story. We don't see that happening. But I don't think he's going to be there when the Bucs are ready to pick.
Okay, I didn't see the draft order.
They'd have to lose the rest of their games, but Herbert's going to be a top 5 or 6 pick.
I've been listening to a few draft podcasts.
But he won't be there when the Buccaneers pick. I doubt because the Buccaneers will be
right now. Really? Herbert might be the 4th quarterback to go in this draft.
He had a great game last Saturday.
Okay,
that's the best game I've seen.
The one I was listening to was before this last weekend.
Yeah,
He lit them up. But from Joe Burrow is shooting up draft boards apparently. Tua still has a firm lock on the number one. He's done nothing to drop back from that this year.
Herbert, on Friday night, he lit them
who's
up.
Who's the quarterback from Utah State? Love? Kid is a name to look out for.
He is, but man, LSU beat the crap out of him. He got nothing. He only scored 6 points in that game,
which
I was surprised at.
I don't know how much of that is his offensive line against that defensive line.
They should have put up some points on that. They're the team that scored the least amount of points against LSU all year.
Yeah.
Even Vandy put up 36.
Right.
Let's go to John in Fort Myers. John with Sheeman and Shepard. Hey, John.
Hey, John.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I was giving you a call because I believe that LeBron could have phrased that a little bit different.
Yep.
But I interpret it in a different way than how you guys are presenting it. We all know that China has their human rights violations, and that's one of the biggest concerns of the general population. But what I felt to his comments said that Daryl Morey was misinformed in the ramifications that it could have with the people over there as far as what could have happened to LeBron and the other players is that were there to play games physically, and they could have even been imprisoned if the government wanted to, you know, with the that China has.
Well, John, I know what you're talking about. The problem is, and I'm not saying you're wrong, you're probably right, to be honest with you, but he could have explained it, for he was asked, and he wouldn't get into it. What specifically did he think that Morey was misinformed or uneducated about? And he just said, that's just my opinion. He wouldn't get into it. He was asked 2 or 3 times, or twice at least, to follow up. And he's like, That's how I feel. That's not good, and that's the problem. He leaves that out there.
When you're the leader in the face of the NBA, you can't just leave it hanging like that. You can't.
But I know what you're saying, John. You're probably right, but he wouldn't explain himself any further, which we all know why. It's because of the money he doesn't want to lose in China.
Yep.
Which is the rest of them. The whole NBA, the whole league is that way.
Thank you, John. Appreciate the phone call. Let's go.
You know, it's like when I say that Michael Bradley gets dunked on. It was a mess up. I was thinking, everybody knew what I was trying to say, but the difference was I came back and I owned that I messed up.
Yeah. You know, you got an NBA player wrong. You both shut off our mics, and you criticize where my Jacksonville Jaguars were placed
The Seahawks out there at 3.
Everything's about you.
I won't even say you forgot to put number 8 next to Florida in my poll. I left that out. I let that go.
Oh,
at least
really?
Florida was there, but I didn't get a number.
Chris has a lot on this plate. Let's go to Scott on a cell phone. You're on with Sheman Shepard. Go ahead, Scott.
Scott.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
I was just going to say almost exactly what John was saying. The phrase that LeBron used at the end of his tweet where he said he could have waited a week, that kind of tells me he's not really complaining about what Daryl Morey said, just the timing of it, because those 4 NBA teams or whatever were over in China, that might have made him more nervous, and he just explained it poorly.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't disagree, Scott.
No.
I don't disagree. I just when you use the words uneducated and
uninformed,
he could have said, if he had said it was just bad timing, I would have a lot more respect for what he said. If he said, you know what, it was really bad timing with Daryl Morey.
But that's not what he's trying to do here.
We
broke down, and we got new audience at different times. But LeBron is juggling right now. He's juggling being the activist in America while trying to keep his revenue stream coming out of China.
And that's a hypocrite.
That's the juggling act that he's trying. That's the tightrope that he's trying to walk right now. And I don't think that you can walk that tightrope. At some point, you are going to have to choose side A. Do you want to side with, I hate to say it like this, America and democracy and freedom of speech? Or do you want to side with your revenue stream?
Rock'em Sock'em Robots with a great text on the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. Remember when Barack Obama and the police officer that had the beer summit? Early in his deal.
Oh, yeah, yes.
He said, hey, I just thought of a great promotion. Have a beer summit between Jeff Rice and Craig at Twin Peaks with a frosty mug of cold beer, 29-degree beer for cooler heads to prevail.
I told him, I've already said a couple hours, I want to set it up where he comes in studio and you guys can have a discussion.
I will teach him.
He's not allowed to do that.
I will teach him.
I
will teach
him
how to
officiate.
NFL
reps can't do media. They don't do press conferences. They don't do...
Now, I saw one of them in another studio when I first started working here. What was that all about? Was that to raise money for hurricane relief, and he was allowed to do that or something?
Right, because he wasn't as the NFL official. He was as the...
Like a minor celebrity?
Yeah. No, the attorney or whatever, business owner.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, he donated money that day?
Yeah.
I think so.
That was a different official.
Well, here's what we do. We can have a, sports... legal questions and maybe, hypothetically ask him about some controversial decisions that have been made on the field.
Here's what I could do.
There's ways around it.
I could shove my palm in his face and I could ask him, is this hands in your face?
Now that would be assault, sir, and you'd be subject to a fine, possibly
the full extent of the law.
Jail. And I would recommend incarceration.
Assault on a lawyer.
Yes. Not good.
Probably the dumbest thing I've heard today. We've had a few doozies in there.
And none from me, which is rare. I'm good today, counselor.
Speaking of my awesomeness, you can catch the CNote NFL Power Rankings on 99.3ESPN.com.
I'll go fix that. Put Seattle in at 3.
They put my number right next to the Gators, too.
No, I'm going to leave that.
Why?
Feel free to knock down Jacksonville a peg. What you got next? Sheema to Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Time for those parting shots. It's What You Got with Sheema and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Now, it's Sheema and Shepherd.
What You Got brought to you by Twin Peaks. It's the ultimate sports lodge. Great menu, 29-degree beer. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, and scenic views. You know, on this day, in 1783, the world's first manned balloon flight. Who had the guts to do that for the first time?
AB?
Oh, that's true. 1945, baseball had a record 10.28 million fans all throughout Major League Baseball. Detroit led the way with 1.28 million, not New York. Jim Palmer.
I bet Toronto was second, I think.
In 1945?
Oh, 1945. Why did I think I said 85?
45.
Oh.
1945, Jim Palmer was born. Happy birthday. Speaking of the Orioles, in 1969, Earl Weaver becomes the first manager ejected from a World Series.
Yes, against the Mets.
And in 1980, George Brett becomes the first person to be forced out of a World Series due to hemorrhoids. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
That's all I got. You going to update the polls?
Yep, I did polls at 99.3 Twin Peak Twitter polls at 99.3 ESPN Radio. Two, did the Lions get screwed last night? Very simple. 94% say yes. 6% say no. Did LeBron's comments on Daryl Morey's China tweet help or hurt to defuse the situation? 94% again. Hurt. 6% help.
How about that? Strong polls today. All right, Chris, what you got? You got Stone Cold Lock on tonight's baseball game on 99.3 ESPN?
No, I don't do that on baseball. Okay. I haven't given one of those in a while. No, I got just more strangeness coming out of the academic world.
Stranger things.
Last week, I did the Drexel professor who racked up almost $200,000 that he was taking from grants to go to strip clubs.
Yeah.
Sorry. Gentlemen's clubs. Well, today, University of Washington professor Holly M. Baker has had a piece published comparing SpongeBob SquarePants, calling it him a violent and a racist.
SpongeBob is not racist. There's no way.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Not because of what?
I mean, I can read it, but it's just going to make us all.
Any particular quote?
No. No.
I watched almost every episode of SpongeBob with
my kids. Does he have a signature line that he says?
She also claims the show, whose characters wear Hawaiian shirts and whose theme music uses steel guitars, relies on cultural appropriation. It's gone too far, guys.
Good crazy.
God. It's gone crazy. Way too far. It's daily.
Wheels on the bus go round. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Speaking of books, Tiger Woods is writing a memoir. He says there's been a lot written about me.
You know what it's called?
No, what's the title?
Back.
Back? Like I'm back?
Or my back. Yeah, I think that's the point of it being called Back.
Wow. That's funny.
A lot of other titles.
Yeah. All right, so we got baseball tonight, National League Championship Series. Could be it.
I would have named it. I didn't know she was a Denny's waitress.
Yeah, right, right. Pete and I are off to play poker for Chris, for Pete Shepard. I'm Craig Sheeman, and according to medical science, Jeff Rice stinks. God bless America.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.